Born in a rural area in Saskatchewan, Canada, Maria Campbell is an Indigenous Métis elder, teacher, writer, and filmmaker. Now 84 years old, her memoir Half-Breed, 1973, is regarded as a foundational piece of Indigenous literature. Published when she was in her early 30s, it describes the discrimination, oppression, and poverty that Indigenous and Métis people experience. Around 4.9% of Canadians identify as Indigenous. They belong to three main peoples: First Nations, Inuit, or Métis. The name Métis derives from the 1700s, when French and Scottish fur traders married Indigenous women. Their descendants were called half-breeds. But the term is both derogatory and inaccurate, says Campbell, as the Métis formed their own distinct nation and collective culture. In her memoir, Campbell describes how Métis leaders were hanged, imprisoned, or exiled after two armed resistances in the 1800s. In the 1890s, Métis life was disrupted again by waves of new settlers. Some Métis were forced to assimilate, while others were displaced. Many suffered hardship, broken families, land theft, and addiction, as well as racism and gender violence. Many lost their identity, oppressed by a colonial system that used religious education as a controlling force. But according to Campbell, her book is also a celebration of the Métis culture. It introduces some vibrant characters: her overwhelmed but resolute father, her seven siblings, and her great-grandmother, Cheechum, whose down-to-earth wisdom is a life-affirming force in the book. Today, half of the Métis live in urban areas and half on the plains in the provinces of Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta. But there, they are landless in their homeland, says Campbell. Throughout the 20th century, land granted to them by the government was confiscated or purchased at prices well below its worth by new settlers. To find out more, Speak Up attended a conference given by Campbell. As she explained, today, Indigenous land claims are common in Canada, but despite decades of negotiation, there have been no settlements that recognize the right to lands traditionally used and occupied by the Métis.
Our history is one of struggle to retain our homeland, and after two armed resistances with the Canadian government and our leaders being hanged, imprisoned, and exiled, we were shamed, pushed into the past, made invisible, and forgotten. We rose again, and after decades of negotiations, our leaders were able to have us recognized and included in the Canadian Constitution as one of the three Aboriginal peoples of Canada. But this didn't mean that anything changed for us. We're still a landless people in our homeland, but like other Indigenous peoples in Canada, we have the highest poverty rates, the highest prison rates for both men and women, the highest suicide rates of most of our young people under the age of 30, all the way down to the age of 10, and the highest rates of homelessness.
Recently, Campbell's book was republished after the discovery of pages cut from the original draft. They describe her rape as a teenager by a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The absence of these pages shows how Indigenous women in society are made invisible, says Campbell. As she explains, this is contrary to Indigenous custom and better reflects the way women were treated in Europe.
Most of our people fight for our personal and our people's inherent rights and liberties. We have always protected our families, our land and water, our languages and culture, and we have always nurtured and continue to nurture liberation for our people. That's a role that women have always played. If it wasn't for that, we would probably have no language and no culture left.
Rural living offers little opportunity for the Métis, while urbanization brings new problems, says Campbell.
Homelessness is something that was never a part of our culture. Landlessness, yes, we didn't have a place that we could stay very long. But homelessness, as long as there were people around, nobody was ever homeless. And so homelessness is probably really only about 50 years old. A good part of that is as we integrate more into society, people don't look after each other, which is what we did before. Whether the person was mentally ill, if they were sick, or if they were crippled, or if they were poor, the family took care of each other. As we move into urban centers, that's not happening anymore. Families get fragmented.
For 150 years, up until the 1990s, First Nations, Métis, and Inuit children were taken from their families and put into religious residential schools, where they were forced to abandon their traditions, cultural practices, and languages. Today, programs help them reconnect with their identity.
When I was a child, we never dreamed about getting an education beyond hoping to be able to read. Many of our people were not allowed to go to school because they were landless people. And in our country, if you didn't pay taxes, you didn't get an education. Today, we have young people in universities. We have doctors. We have many lawyers, teachers, professors, entrepreneurs. We have many, many artists, storytellers, singers, poets, writers, people in theater. It's those people who have been able to bring our story to the world.
Campbell believes that Métis heritage is being reclaimed. But while Canadians are finally recognizing Indigenous values, the vast majority of Métis lead a difficult life.
Really, nothing is ever lost. We put it down to survive, but it's always there for us to come back and pick up. For every gain that we have, for every time we have a child that graduates from university, for each time that one of us can buy a house, we lose many of the lives of our people. Our forests are being cut down. Many of our communities can't drink their water. The death of somebody's soul and the wounding of people's spirits, those things are hid away.